Hey everyone, welcome to 10 Movies, the podcast where we dig into the work of one actor through 10 of their films. If you have listened to the past 10 episodes, you know that we have been covering the work of Jennifer Lopez. This is our final wrap-up episode, just because I cannot let Jennifer Lopez go. I thought that Brian and I would rank the films and talk about what we learned this season.
I have very mixed feelings about this podcast episode.
I am sad
because I enjoy coming here. You know, we're in a pandemic. I don't get out a lot. I'm basically seeing my wife and my daughter. You know, every week, though, I come here to your patio and we sit outside and it's getting increasingly colder, but we have to maintain social distancing. But I enjoy doing the podcast with you. So it makes me sad that we're at the end. But I am also sick of watching Jennifer Lopez movies, which makes me happy we are at the end.
It is a conundrum. I'm going to miss Brian coming over. I'm going to miss yelling at him about his bad movie opinions.
Well, that just happened the one time last week, but I think it left a real stain on your feelings.
I wonder if our listeners made it through. But no, I think that unfortunately one of my main takeaways from this is that I will be happy to be moving on from having to watch Jennifer Lopez movies.
So. I have some exciting thoughts about who we might whose films we might enjoy for the fourth season of 10 Movies. I won't preview them, but I do urge our loyal legion of listeners to get at us on Twitter, get at us on our website, 10movies.net, I am pretty sure, and let us know who you think we might profitably and usefully discuss for our fourth season.
Yeah, and please think about our time and how valuable it is before we start watching these movies.
Which sounds harsh, but it's a commitment to watch a bunch of movies that aren't really good.
So Brian, for everyone, just as a refresher, what are the 10 movies that we did watch
yes,
this season?
Excellent question. The 10 movies of this season of the 10 Movies podcast: Anaconda, an early career horror thriller starring Jennifer Lopez and a giant snake. Selena, the much lauded but critically panned by us biopic of the late lamented Tejano singer Selena, a star-making turn for Ms. Lopez. Out of Sight, a early career Steven Soderbergh heist film with Jennifer Lopez and George Clooney.
That did not hold up well.
There was some things we objected to. I urge you to go back and listen to it. Made in Manhattan, the modern-day fable starring a delightful Jennifer Lopez and a woefully bland and miscast Ralph Fiennes. Gigli, widely purported to be the worst film ever made. Hemel and I basically agreed with that assessment.
It is the worst movie ever made.
U-Turn, an Oliver Stone film that was even more unpleasant to watch than Gigli, as hard as that would have been to imagine in the immediate aftermath of watching Gigli. Shall We Dance? So
delightful.
Slight you almost forget it.
Delightful.
Ballroom dancing movie starring Jennifer Lopez across from Mr. Richard Gere. Hustlers, critically acclaimed and beloved by the 10 Movies podcast host, where Jennifer Lopez struts around in a bikini and a giant fur coat. Parker, which I've almost forgotten about, having just watched it fairly recently, where Jason Statham is a sort of mid-budget action star and Jennifer Lopez is his sidekick. And last but not least, Second Act, which if you listen to last week's podcast, your beloved podcasting hosts disagreed very sharply on its quality. However, lest those emotions erupt again, I will, for the remainder of this episode, be pretending I truly enjoyed Second Act a great deal. So that is the list of movies.
That's the thing about Brian, is that he knows when he's been beaten.
I was almost physically beaten over
rather
mild criticism of Second Act, I must say.
I did lose my mind, and I stand by it. But yeah, I think we covered a big breadth of Jennifer Lopez movies this season. I mean, I know what I learned from it. I'm not sure what you learned from it.
Well, why Jennifer Lopez? As the selector of our choice for this season, as you have been for the previous seasons, I trust your judgment implicitly, but why did you want to talk about Jennifer Lopez, would you say?
Okay, I really wanted to talk about Jennifer Lopez because, one, I felt like we absolutely needed to cover a woman on the show.
Absolutely.
And I wanted it to be a woman of color, but I also wanted it to be a charismatic actress. And on paper, Jennifer Lopez really fits that bill, right? I know her from Made in Manhattan. When we started talking about the season, Hustlers was just starting to become a thing, so it felt like she's had a long career. On paper, it felt like Jennifer Lopez was the perfect person to do this.
Now,
and
you said on paper here, so
yes,
maybe you think differently now.
I do. What I'm learning through the season is that I think in hindsight, I regret making this choice. I just don't think that J-Lo has a strong body of work.
No, we had a lot of criticism of the movies. Even the ones we liked, we didn't love. But, you know, I don't think you should have regrets. I think that which does not kill us make us stronger. And I think that we have learned a lot about ourselves in this journey.
But I think part of the problem is that a lot of the things that we said throughout this season, one was J-Lo is great in this film, but the material that she's been given was absolutely subpar.
Yeah, I didn't, like, when we started this season, I was, I thought it was, we were watching, we had scheduled to watch a lot of movies that I hadn't seen before, and they're not movies I probably necessarily would have always chosen to watch of my own accord, so I was excited about that, like, because I think it's interesting to, like, watch something that you might not have chosen and, like, think about what it is. And so I didn't have a really strong sense of her as an actor, right? Like, I just heard a sense of her. She's Jennifer Lopez, and she's famous for 100 things. Every week, the movies weren't great much of the time. But every single time, we said, like, wow, she's really good in this. Or she, like you said, she's often so much better than the movie she was in. Which, a couple times, if that happens, you're like, all right, you know, it's Hollywood. That's, you know, you don't always know what you're going to get. But when that happens over and over and over and again, it makes me really wonder, like, why is she always in, like, adequate to bad movies?
Yeah, I think that early in her career, I think we were able to peg the fact that she was not very well known, and she was given material, and she was expected to play a certain kind of sexy Latina, like you saw in U-Turn, and then they tried to make her a romantic comedy star, and much of that material was just garbage. But to me, most of it is that Jennifer Lopez is a performer. Like, I think Jennifer Lopez as a celebrity and as a person is so much stronger than any one movie role she's ever done. Like, movies are just one thing that she does, but when you think of J-Lo, you don't think of Jennifer Lopez as an actress. I think you think of her as the woman and during the halftime of the Super Bowl show, right? Like, she is charismatic. She is a persona. She's an icon. I don't know if she is just an actress.
Yeah, she's the most purely, like, star of anybody, right? Yeah, she's equally well-known for singing and, you know, having fragrances and being on TV and Super Bowl and all her movies. But I think, like, and I think often with people like that, you're like, oh, that's just their thing. And what I kept coming back to is, like, oh, I was always surprised by how good she's capable of being.
Yeah.
I almost feel like if she was just an actor, you know, if she was less of a giant star, she might have a much stronger bunch of movies for us to have watched.
I think that if she had directed her energy into just filmmaking, right? Like, if she had decided, I'm going to be an actress and I'm going to be a filmmaker.
Yeah, there's only so many hours in the day.
Right, exactly. But I think at heart she is a performer, and that's what she wanted to do, and she's great at it. She's certainly well known for it. And I have a little bit of, like, I don't know what the right word is, but we talked a little bit about this with Second Act, which is that when I see the kind of power that she had, I wish she put it behind really great projects, because then I bet those projects would get made.
Yeah, I think we said a lot, like, we developed a little bit of Stockholm Syndrome, which I think we always do for our subjects. I think we really developed it with her. Like, if I remember correctly, I feel like we were always saying, like, oh, this, she's better than this, and I wish they had done this with her, I wish they had let her do this. And you said something last week about Second Act, is that, like, oh, she, you know, she probably had her big hand in, like, what that movie ended up being, which she probably does at this point in her career. She's such a big star. She's such a, like, a box office draw. Yeah, I wish she, like, I read this story recently. I don't even know what movie it was, but it was about Russell Crowe, who I don't have any particular affinity for. But, like, you can see that, like, Russell Crowe's movies are all, like, very serious movies. And the story was about how, like, he guess he's difficult to work with. And again, I can't remember the film, but, like, he would storm off the set or threaten to because he thought the dialogue should be better. He insisted that, like, they stop and improve the dialogue, which sounds like a nightmare to, like, in a workplace. But, like, I can think if you're making, like, a cultural work, like, maybe that makes sense to care about those aspects of what the story is. And I wish Jennifer Lopez, she probably has the power to demand that those things be better. But yeah, maybe because she doesn't care that much about a movie career, she doesn't. I don't know what the answer is.
No, well, I will backtrack there. I'd say she has that power now. I don't think it's because she doesn't care about her career. I think it's that women in Hollywood definitely occupy a very different kind of space. So at the beginning, she specifically did not have any power at all. And it's only through everything else that she's done that she's been able to build up the power that she has within the industry at the moment. But does that even translate to, being able to walk off a set, right? Because if you're a woman and you do what Russell Crowe is doing, you're going to get branded as a diva, and then no one's going to want to work with you again, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, we don't spend a lot of energy, and I don't want us to, like, talking about, like, celebrity gossip.
Yeah.
I feel like she does have a bit of a reputation as, you know, not as, like a terror or anything, but as, like you said, a diva. But, like, I feel like she's the kind of person that, like, oh, man, you better, you know, Ms. Lopez's, you know, grapes better be in her. Like, I feel like she probably has the ability and certainly the willingness to say, at this point in her career, what things ought to be.
Yeah.
But she's, and you know, but the most recent one we watched was Hustlers, which we loved. And so maybe, we're going to see five more movies from her and they're all going to be great, which
yeah.
would be super.
I really do hope that what we see now, where she's at this point in her career, where she has all this power and she can do all these things, that energy gets directed towards better projects.
You hope we're entering the Lopez-essence.
I hope we are. I think that Hustlers is a start. I want to see more roles like that from her. I'll be honest, I'm like super disappointed in almost everything we watched this season. I just thought I thought it would be better, and it was not.
Yeah, of the 10 movies, one of them was a genuinely good movie, and 9 of them were okay to unwatchable.
I just think it shows that, you know, women are hard done by in this business.
I do think women are hard done by in this business for sure applies to her. Like a lot of the stuff we watched, yeah, like we said it before, like she's a lot better than the material she's given to work with in a lot of these movies. Shall we go through the list of the 10 films though?
Yes.
And rank them.
Yes.
Now I'm reluctant to do this because I feel like our rankings will probably be somewhat similar. But I'm afraid you're going to yell at me about Second Act, which you did last week.
Well, can we... All right, so I'm going to let you get through your rankings without interrupting you.
Oh, no, I think we should go... We should reveal each one as we go.
Okay, so we start with number 10 and then we go to number 1?
No, I think it'll be more fun to go the other way because I want to hear... Because I think I know what the last two are going to be. I just want to see which order you put them in.
Okay.
Of the 10 movies we watched...
Yes.
Oh, also, I should say, we did not watch the movie Wedding Planner, which is a iconic Jennifer Lopez rom-com because we had covered it in our previous Matthew McConaughey season.
Exactly.
We did throw it into the stream as a bonus episode, but it is not one of the 10 movies of this season. Just
good clarification. All right, number 1.
Number 1. Da, 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 da. It's Hustlers, right?
Made in Manhattan.
What?
Made
Are
in
Manhattan. Out of your mind? All right, well, this is goodbye. This is the end of the podcast. This was a terrible idea. We'll see you next season when we watch Whoopi Goldberg movies.
Brian had a physical reaction.
I did. I startled. Wow.
Made in Manhattan was number 1.
Number 1 for you. All right.
Number 1.
Number 2.
Anaconda.
I had Anaconda for number 2 also. Anaconda was just a dumb, you know, it's a fun, dumb giant snake movie. Everybody was having a good time.
It's a great movie. It hits a bunch of notes really well. Doesn't try too hard. It's like, here's giant snakes.
Yeah, the official take we both had was, if you like giant snake movies, this is the movie for you. Number 3?
Hustlers.
I had Made in Manhattan for number 3. Made in Manhattan had a lot of flaws, most of which were Ralph Fiennes. But yeah, there was a lot. It had a lot of good stuff and a lot of interesting heart to it.
Well, I just want to clarify. I put Hustlers at number 3 because, to me, I've had such a, like, Made in Manhattan has just been imprinted on me that it is more definitive. It is definitely more definitive of Jennifer Lopez's career than Hustlers, because Hustlers is too recent.
I agree with that. I think it was maybe one of the most iconic Jennifer Lopez roles here, but I just can't. I'm completely flabbergasted that you picked it number 1. Number 4.
I picked Second Act.
So did I.
You
and
you
not
did
because I was
peer pressure. Peer
not,
pressure.
Not because of peer pressure.
It's because I shamed you into last week.
You were incredibly angry with my naked misogyny for not liking Second Act more. But as I was trying to say last week and was not able to under the flurry of blows, I didn't think it was a bad movie. And quite frankly, there's so many movies on her that are so great that, Second Act rose to number 4 for me. Yeah, not a bad movie, just I had some real problems with the storytelling of it, as I will not here rehash. Number 5.
Number 5, Shall We Dance?
Huh, I think you're going to disagree with my number 5, which was Out of Sight.
Ooh, okay, I do disagree with it.
I mean, my whole back half here is just not good movies, so it's really 6 in 1, half a dozen the other. But, you know, Out of Sight, I thought at least had... Yeah, we didn't love it. I probably wouldn't go out of my way to watch it again, but, you know, I thought it had things to recommend it. Number 6.
Out of Sight.
Huh, all right. So, yeah, you didn't hate it that much.
I
worse than me.
Yeah.
We didn't hate it. We just like... I think that was the one that we were expecting to enjoy. And
I really thought Out of Sight was one of the ones that like I built the case for Jennifer Lopez on the fact that Out of Sight is supposed to be really good, and it was not.
Yeah, Out of Sight was the one on Out of Sight and Hustlers were the two I hadn't seen. And I'm like, oh, I would have watched that anyway. I'm looking forward to that one. Where are we? Number seven?
Number seven.
This is where I had Shall We Dance.
I had Parker.
Yeah, oh, Parker was so boring.
Well, that's why it was number seven.
Yeah, fair enough. Right. We're down the dress. Shall We Dance? Like, it was just so, like, just a little poof of nothing movie.
You
like,
just hate Charm.
No, I just hate Charm. I like Charm. There just wasn't nearly enough of it in Shall We Dance. Number eight.
I picked Selena.
Where did I pick Selena?
What did you pick for number eight?
Well, I picked Parker for number eight. I had Selena at number six. Did we skip one? What was your number six?
No. My number six was Out of Sight.
Okay, yes. Yeah. I just didn't say that I had Selena there.
Yeah.
I had Parker for number eight.
So we're on number eight, right? Yeah, I had Selena for number eight. So.
Yeah, Selena was, probably the biggest heartbreaker of the season for me was, like, we said this many times, like, such an important story, such a difficult movie to really enjoy.
Though, to be fair, it doesn't look like the Netflix Selena docuseries really also... kind of seems to have missed the mark.
Oh, have you? So the Netflix is doing this. So one of our problems with Selena was that, like, because it was made by basically her family in the immediate aftermath of her death, there was just no distance at all from her. And we were saying, like, oh, Netflix is making a series. Maybe it will, 20 years later, maybe it'll be different. But have you watched it?
I have not watched it, but I've read the reviews and it was middling.
Well, that's too bad.
All right, number nine.
Okay, so before we do nine and ten,
mm-hmm.
There was zero doubt in my mind what would be nine and ten for us.
Right.
In fact, if this movie were called 20 movies or 30 movies or literally all the movies, these would still be the last two. But I'm curious as to which was worse to you.
Okay.
Number nine, what did you have?
You Turn.
I had a You Turn too. Meaning that we both felt that Geely was deservedly the worst movie.
Geely was deservedly the worst movie. Now, I'm curious why Geely was worse than U-Turn for you.
So if right now someone is taking, if kidnappers are seizing my child, and I get home and there's a note saying, we will return your daughter unharmed, but you must watch five movies between now and the dawn, and they must be U-Turn or Geely. I would watch Geely four or maybe five times because U-Turn was such a brutally unpleasant viewing experience. But at least there was some kind of like vision there. At least like someone had gone into it trying to do something. Failed at every turn. Made the wrong choice at every turn, Oliver Stone did. But with Geely, it was just the most bafflingly incomplete, incomprehensible, strange mess of a movie I've ever seen.
I mean, I agree with that, all of it. I think that Geely has absolutely nothing to redeem itself from. U-Turn, like you said, there is some kind of misguided artistic vision there.
Certainly misguided, but yes.
There is... at least strong performances by one or two characters
right.
of the film.
Even as you're talking about it, I'm remembering it and I'm feeling like it's viscerally unpleasant to remember it.
It's like it's horrifying, but I hate to say it, but horror is part of the experience of watching U-Turn. And Geely, like, there's nothing redemptive about Geely. It is all of the reasons that big box office Hollywood movies are terrible. Because there's no vision, there's no plot, the writing is terrible, the acting is terrible, it's so wildly offensive to gay people and people with disabilities.
It wasn't just bad in every level, it was genuinely offensive. So
it was genuinely offensive.
I feel that we've made a good choice there. I will say that Geely's not, you shouldn't even watch it like drunk with your friends at some point. It's just irredeemable.
It needs to be erased, and I will say that Geely was the... So when I'm watching the film, U-Turn... like push me off of Oliver Stone because the artistic vision, the directing was so strong that it like influenced every bit of the film. Geely, when I'm watching it, it pushed me off of Jennifer Lopez. Mm. I was like, I cannot deal with any of this because she had a choice and she chose to do this garbage
movie. It pushed me
off
of Justin Bartha. I will say that. although I will say when we decided to do the Jennifer Lopez season, I was like, oh, I've never watched Geely. Like, even yeah. I knew that it was this legendarily bad movie. And I was just, because it has such a reputation, I was genuinely interested to see, like, what is it about it that's so terrible?
Yeah, no, we recommend that you watch any other movie in the world except Geely.
You know, I would say watch Hustlers, watch Made in Manhattan on a Sunday afternoon while you're making something, watch Anaconda if you like giant snake movies. The rest of it, you can take a pass.
I would say, yeah, I agree with those choices. To me, second act is great. I think it's worth watching. Made in Manhattan, obviously worth watching. Hustlers is a must-see, I think, even if you don't like that. But more so than any one movie, it's to pay attention to the things that Jennifer Lopez like represents in all of her roles. And that is about empowering working class women of color. Like, every single role that she's done has really been about that. Well, not every single role, but many of her roles, especially her better roles, are about empowering women of color, and that's been a good theme in her career.
And, you know, I think if Jennifer Lopez were, you know, if society were not structured in such a way that it is, I can only imagine we would have seen a lot more, like, strong material from her, because she would have been given the opportunity to do it throughout her career.
Yeah.
Instead of really, like, just now when she has this ridiculous amount of, you know, power in Hollywood.
Exactly. Like, the fact that it's taken this much power to get her to be able to do the kind of stuff that she's really good at, just indictment of the whole industry.
So I do have a newfound appreciation for Jennifer Lopez's strength as an actor, and I am looking forward to these next roles of her in the Lopezessence, which so, probably won't catch on, so it's hard to say.
An overall success of a season, I hope. Thank you guys very much for staying with us and listening to all of it.
Who are we going to watch on the next season of 10 Movies?
I mean, that is the big question that everybody wants to know. I don't have a firm answer for you.
So get at us on Twitter. Get at us on 10movies.net. Again, I'm not 100% sure that's our web address. We should probably look that up at some point. But we would love to hear what you think. And thank all of you for watching. We do not have an enormous listenership, but the listenership we have is solid gold.
It's great. We'll see you next season.